Good morning. But I tell you, it's good to be in church the last 2 weeks. I mean, last two Sundays, it's been miserable just sitting at home. It has, really. I can't say that I just sat at home, but I did get to watch church on TV. Friends of ours that have a church down in Nashville, Tennessee, and got to watch their service in their new building. So it was good, but I miss my church family. I miss you all. And I'm glad to see everybody who braved the cold weather and got out here today. And the winds are probably blowing about 20-some mile an hour right now. So thank you for coming out and serving the Lord and fellowshipping today. Good to see you all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I want to start the new year off with this sermon, Standing with God. And when you get to Hebrews 12, 2, those of you who are able, please stand as I read from God's Word. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that your Son Jesus endured the cross, that he remained faithful to your will. God, we ask and pray today, the Lord, you will touch our hearts, and Lord, make us to be where we are faithful to your will to the very end, till the day that we either lay down and take our last breath, or when your Son Jesus comes back in the eastern sky to call his children home in the rapture. Whatever way it may be, help us, Lord, to endure. Give us the strength, Father, and give us the joy that only you can give. And now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you and through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor, glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. When I thought about this brand new year, everybody always makes a resolution, and they, man, they're pumped up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get a new job, or I'm going to be more loving, or I'm going to give more time to God, whatever the resolution may be. And then after a few weeks or so, the fire starts to die in people. And you notice that the resolution that they made before the new year has been put by the wayside. And the Lord's been dealing with my heart that this year is going to be a much different year. That he wants to start with me as his child to stand with him, to be right by his side. And why? Because God has always been by my side, and God has never left my side one time. Now, there's been moments in my life where I walked away from God, where I got tired and weary, or tried to do things under my own power, and I left God's side and left quite a valley in between us, and I no longer felt his love and protection, and then I would question him, God, why have you left me? And the Lord has told me time and time again, it wasn't I that walked away, it was you that decided to go your own way. You decided to pursue your own life, your own thoughts, your own ideas, and I just let you go. But you know, every time, God has never quit ministering to my heart and life during those dark moments, but I want to make the commitment this year, every day of the year, to stand by his side, to abide in Him, because when we abide in the Lord God, He will abide with us, which means we will have a continual fellowship. Now, I want to go back into the book of Genesis when God created man. The Bible says that God, He took dirt from the ground and He formed man into His likeness. And then God breathed His spirit or life into that man. And that man's name was Adam. And Adam, he was the first Adam. He was the one who had dominion and authority on the earth because God gave it to him. And Adam had a steadfast relationship with God because he had not sinned. And then all of a sudden, God puts Adam asleep. He saw that Adam needed a helpmate, and He took a rib from his side, and God created woman to be Adam's helpmate. And her name was Eve. And Adam and Eve had it good. God put them in the Garden of Eden, gave them everything they need. He gave Adam the power to name the birds of the air, the wild creatures of the land. He gave it all to Adam. And the only thing God said to them, I don't want you to touch the tree of knowledge. Do not eat that fruit of that tree of knowledge. Because that was where the sin came in. But here comes Satan. Satan, as you know, been cast out of heaven because he was prideful. He rebelled. He tried to exalt himself up above God. And Satan was cast down upon the earth with the angels that followed. And Satan comes along and he starts to twist God's word. And he says to Eve, well, now you could eat of this fruit. Surely you won't die as God told you. But see, if you eat of that tree, then you're going to know good and evil like God does. So see, Eve fell and she gave in to the tactics of the enemy and she ate of the fruit of the tree. Now, I've heard a lot of men make mistakes here. I've heard a lot of men say, well, see, the woman sinned first. It was all her fault. No, the man should have been right there by the woman's side. And he, you know, he should have been right there trying to pull her away. But now, I don't understand why all that happened. I shouldn't say that. It happened. It just happened, okay? Well, we're going to go there with that. But then Adam ate of the same fruit. Adam sinned. They both realized that they were naked. And they took fig leaves and they covered themselves. And then what did they do? They ran away and they hid them from God. They heard God walking in the cool of the garden and they went and hid. And while they were hiding from God, God is asking, Adam, where are you? Well, then Adam comes out and says, well, here I am, Lord, because I was hiding from you. And he said, we're naked. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree? So see right there, Adam and Eve failed to stand with God and obey His commandments. And it cost them. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were to work the land. They were to experience pain within their bodies. They were going, God told them that they would see death. It was going to happen. But thank God, later on in His holy word, it started to be said that the birth of Jesus was coming. And with the birth of Jesus Christ, He became the second Adam. See, Adam was put on the earth. He didn't know any sin, but then he did sin. But the Son of God, who knew no sin, was born and came to the earth. And the entire time he lived in the flesh, Jesus knew no sin. And then he took the rightful place on the cross and gave his life and shed his blood for you and I. And because of salvation, Jesus is the author of our salvation, because he's the one who gave everything so that you and I would live. Psalms 3:8 says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." If we want to stand by God, we have to be saved. And the moment that you and I get saved and give our hearts and lives to him, we are making a dedication to him. We are making a promise to him the moment we get saved and get baptized that we are going to turn from our sinful life, that we will live for him, that we will follow him and obey his commandments. But guess who is still roaming the face of the earth? Guess who is still tempting God's children today? Guess who is trying to sway you and I away from God? But if we will hold firm and if we will stand fast in fellowship with God, then I firmly believe that you and I will have all the strength that we need, that we will be aware when the devil comes and tempts us with sin. And I also believe that if we stand with God and we are his saved people, that we will not want to sin. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. That means whatever is a part of the flesh, whatever is a part of this world, if it's not of God, get away from it. Don't give time to it. Because you know what? What you give time to in your life is what you will become. If you stand with God, if you get right by him, he will protect you. He will shield you. He will fill you day in and day out. And God will always provide every need that you have in your life. And if we have that kind of fellowship with God, then I know that God will put a hedge of protection about us. And if we will every day commit to him, submit ourselves, it says in the book of James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. He'll be gone. See, when you're praising the Lord, when you're serving God, the devil don't want to stick around. If he sees how real we are at serving the Lord, then he won't stick around. So when we come into the Lord's house on Sunday, we shouldn't bring the devil in here with us. I don't know what goes on in people's lives before church. That's people's business between them and the Lord. But I pray and hope that when every single one of us walk through that door, that we walk in here with an attitude of gratitude, that we are thankful that we could be here. The last 2 weeks should be an eye-opener, that even the weather can stop you from being in God's house. And we should be thankful and joyful this morning that we're here together, that we get to see one another. I thank God for the blessings of life. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." See, we're kept by God if we remain faithful. God will bless your life. God will answer your prayers. God will minister to your needs as long as you have faith in him. I keep pointing over there like God's right there. Well, God's in here. That's a bad preacher thing. We like to point sometimes, so he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So with my life, I want to put my trust fully in him. every single day. When I get up, Father, you know, thank you for life. Thank you, Lord. Janine told me maybe it was Friday. She said she was at the grocery store, and as she was coming around the corner, she saw a man in a wheelchair. Couldn't really tell much about him, but he was struggling. He was reaching for something, and he couldn't quite get it. And so Janine walked up and said, "Sir, is there something I could get for you?" And he said, "Yeah, I need something off that top shelf." And she said the moment she got around there and reached up, she looked down and noticed that he didn't have any legs at all. And she said it really just struck her. But she said this man was so loving and so friendly. And I thought, wow, a man who doesn't have any legs, but he's joyful in serving the Lord. And he was laughing with Janine and cutting up with her a little bit. And Janine said he was the nicest man. And see, if we would be that kind of people, we ought to be thankful for our health. We ought to be thankful for the things that we have. Too many times we sit around complaining about what we don't got. We're always telling God, "Well, I don't have this. Well, I don't have that. I don't have a big house. I don't have a big salary job. I don't have the kind of health insurance or the type of retirement a lot of these folks have. God, I'm just not going to be happy. Or Lord, I hurt my body, so I'm going to be miserable." That kind of life ain't going to get you anywhere. Too many times we see people trying to build a life and a kingdom on this earth like it's going to be here for forever. The things of God are eternal. The things of this world are temporary. The Bible says to put up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust won't destroy and where thieves will not break in and steal. See, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you're living for God, and that's where your treasure is, if He's in your heart, you're going to have joy unspeakable. You're going to have a reason to smile. People will ask you, "Why do you seem so happy?" And I'd say, "Well, it ain't happiness, it's joy. Happiness is just a momentary thing, but joy is something that is eternal." We have to be faithful, though. We have to stay in the battle. See, I heard somebody tell me one time when I was down in the mouth quite a few years ago, they said to me that quitters never win, but winners never quit. And I thought, I don't want to hear that. You know, I was in a bad mood, so I didn't want to be faithful anymore. I was tired, weary. And it makes me wonder how many times back in the days of the Bible, I was reading this past week about Noah and the flood and how many days, months they spent on the ark. Boy, some of us were talking about having cabin fever for the last few weeks. Imagine being stuck on an ark for all those months with all those animals and no telling what kind of smell was on that ark. And you were on that ark, it's you and your wife and your sons and their daughters and all those animals. Now you want to talk about cabin fever. I wonder how many times did Noah maybe start to feel a little overwhelmed because he's human. Now God found favor with Noah, but how many times, I wonder, did he get a little weary? I wonder. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But I do know that Noah remained faithful to God. He stood with God through thick and thin. And God, at the last, when the waters had receded from the earth and everything had dried up, that they opened the side door of the ark and they got out onto the land. And God had promised Noah these things, and Noah saw it come to pass. And I want to tell this to you this morning. Be faithful. Trust God. That's all He's asking. He's not asking you to go scale Mount Everest. He's not asking you to go swim the deepest ocean. He's not asking you to paddle a boat around the world to do anything like that to find favor with Him. All He's wanting you to do is to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you know, I say this. You can put all your faith in God. You can live for Him and you're going to have a great life. Or you can go through life and you can stay disconnected from God and you can be grumpy or sour, whatever you want to be, or anybody in this world, however they want to live. But I tell you what, it's their choice. All I can do is preach the message today and hope that we take the message in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord." That part right there, abounding in the work of the Lord, that means to always be at work for God, never ceasing to do His work. "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to be a kind of Christian people that are unmovable. We need to have roots planted in God. We need to be near that source of life-giving water. And when our roots receive that kind of water that Jesus gives to us, the Bible says we'll never thirst again. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, "You can drink of that water right there that you drew in that pail or that bucket, and you'll drink it, but you're going to thirst. But what I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again." And I praise God for that. See, every day of life, some days life can be humdrum. Some days life can be pretty tough. But the tough get going. The tough get going. Like I said, people can do with their life what they want to do and how they want to live it. They have to stand before the Lord in the end. We have to be the kind of people that are always moving forward. Always on the go. Have you ever seen a busybody that, man, they've got a list, they got a calendar book, and I mean every half hour, hour, there's something wrote in that dude all the way up to bedtime. They've even got down how they write down to floss their teeth, brush their teeth, do this, do that. Man, and they follow that busybody calendar and never think another thing about it. And God is saying to us that He wants us to be those kind of people. We need to be busy for Him. We need to take the things off of our calendar that we deem important, and we need to put the things of God on our calendar. We need to be busy doing the will and the work of the Lord. And lastly, if we stand by the Lord, we're going to be happy. Now, you're not going to find happiness in a pill bottle, in a bottle of alcohol. You're not going to find happiness or any contentment in anything of this world except for right here. I'm telling you what. I saw this on the news in California. An entire neighborhood burned up completely, and one church sitting untouched. I tell you what that church is full of. That church is full of some people that live for the Lord. This little church right here that sits on a hill, well, the devil tried to work through an ice storm to keep, well, we might have been out of here for two Sundays, but well, we're here. we're here today. And there was no trees stopping Laura's cousins from getting that cleaned up. And please tell them, by the way, I appreciate all that. We all appreciate what they did. All the hard work, getting all this cleaned up. That's a blessing from the Lord. But anyway, that church there in California, that's got some blessed people in it. People living for the Lord. People who I could tell are probably happy people. And you can tell a true Christian because there will be a smile on their face. You can see the fruits in their life. Be a servant. John 13:17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Wow. I think we ought to mark John 13:17 in our Bibles and read it. If you know these things, then happy are you that does them. See, if you do the things of the Lord, He says you're going to be happy. And I take full trust in His Word. And there I am still pointing like God's right there. God's here with us. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Wow. I would love to have been there when Jehoshaphat went to battle. Jehoshaphat went to battle with a very small army. You know, when Jehoshaphat started, they was all afraid. They had a huge crowd of men, but a lot of them were afraid, and God saw that they weren't going to be no use because they were afraid. They didn't trust. And so God made it to where that army was whittled down to just a few hundred men. And then as they went to battle, Jehoshaphat and that army started singing praises to God. They were joyful. They had faith. They were happy in the Lord. And when they got to the site where the battle was supposed to take place, God had already wiped out the army that they were supposed to fight. They were all dead. I would have loved to have been there and walked in that army beside Jehoshaphat, and I would have loved to have seen the expression on their faces. You know, when we get into church and when we sing these songs, now a lot of people think you need a whole orchestra and real fast up to be happy. No, you don't. I've always said this, if you've got instruments or not or whatever, you thank God for the music you have in the church, and you get in there and you start singing those praises during praise time, during the hymn time. You start singing with a joyful heart to the Lord because you're going to be going into battle when you leave here, and you're getting yourself ready for that battle. So you better make the choice, we all better, to stand next to God, to stand firm and to stand fast. And then when we leave here and go into our mission field, going into battle, then we're going to say, Father, I thank you that you've already defeated my enemy before me. Now, I want us to take this into serious consideration. We need to focus on Jesus. I preach this a lot. And I've told people, they may get sick of hearing this, but if I have to keep saying it, I will, because we all need to hear it a lot. We need to read our Bible. And I mean read it, not just flip through the pages, read a few verses, close it, and then pick it up a few days later. I mean get in that Word and read it and study it. Pray. Read a devotional. We've got devotion books back there. Thank God we have them. Thank God for the people who write them and send them in, inspired by the Lord. Get a devotion book. Go to church. Serve others. Listen to good Christian music. Listen to testimonials of other Christian people. And then ask yourself, what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? I tell you what Jesus would do. Jesus stood by His Father. He stood for the Lord God, His Father. And I'm telling you this morning, It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you make up your mind to stand with God this year, each and every day, ready to serve Him, ready to see a difference. Because if the trumpet sounds and we go up, or you take your last breath and you stand before the Lord, what's He going to say to you?